we might live, that we might have glory with you in heaven for eternity because of all the work that he did. He paid the ransom for our debt. The wages for all we are, Father, is death. But your Son, through his blood, we have life. We are free. So we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We give you all the glory and all the honor. It's only through his sacrifice that we can stand before you righteous. Through his perfection, not anything that we've done. We praise you and thank you for that. This we pray in your precious name.
Amen. 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 Thanks. You may have a seat. And would you thank the worship team for leading us this morning? Thank you so much, team. Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Powell Church. Welcome those of you who are watching us online. So glad that you are here this morning to worship with us. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 will be our text this morning. And it's good to be back. Last week, my family and I, we were at a conference of our church's fellowships. All of our church's fellowships once a year get together, and this year the conference was in California, so we were there for 6 days. So thank you so much for allowing us to go. Special thanks to Sam for preaching last week, and it's just so exciting to hear how God works through his word. Last week in particular, I texted Sam after he spoke, and I said, Sam, how do you think it went? And he says, well, I shared what I felt like God wanted me to share. And I said, well, how did the people respond? And he's, in his way, he didn't say it this way, but he's like, hey, no one threw anything at me. So I thought it went all right. But later he texted me, he said, we had two families in particular respond, and they either have been praying about it for weeks or months or maybe the course of a year, but God used Sam's sermon to validify that they needed to take that next step and to actually take the ministry of fostering in their own family. And so I just praise God for the response to that. And again, thanks to Sam for preaching last week. Well, this summer, if you've been tracking with us, we've been in a movie series called God at the Movies. And once again, I have to, apologize because I always intend to do a better job than what I do. If you remember when I shared the Hacksaw Ridge movie clip, I apologize for not warning you that it was violent. I assumed that you knew that, but I should have probably had some sort of a disclaimer saying, hey, this movie's a little bit violent. And so I just want to share with you, when we suggest movies, obviously you need to do your homework and research. We're not advocating or saying that everything out of the movie is good. Sometimes the movie theme is what we're really after, and I don't communicate that very well. And so I apologize. Some of you are like, hey, what are you doing? I don't like everything in the movie. And I'm like, good, neither do I. We're on the same page. But the theme is what we're after. And I just want to lovingly remind you, because the question then is, well, why are we doing this? Well, the reason we're doing this, church, it's real simple, is we as a church, I hope you believe this, we as a church, we are called to engage our culture. You understand that, right? We're not supposed to be a holy huddle, a holy bubble. We're not supposed to say, world bad, we're good, let's avoid them. No, we're supposed to engage our culture. And one of the best ways to engage our culture is to understand what they perceive as truth. Right? This was Paul's specific strategy. When he went into a city, he understood what they understood as truth. Then he hit them with the actual truth, which is the divine person of Jesus in the pages of Scripture, right? And so movies give us an idea of how the world perceives truth. And in particular, I've suggested during this movie series, the mention of God is more prevalent today than ever before. Movies are talking about God, but the problem is they're falling short. So my goal is just to use movies and movie clips as a way to evaluate truth, but to use it as an illustration to get us to the actual truth. I'm not preaching about the morals of a movie. I hope you understand that. I'm preaching about the truth of God's word and how we need to apply this to the culture we live in. Amen? So for an example, that's why the very first movie we looked at, Avengers, in that movie, they said that there is one God, right? Now we would all say, well, we believe that as well. But here's where the movie fell short. They didn't claim that that one God was Jesus, right? And so I use that as an illustration to say, no, that one God is clear in Scripture. His name is Jesus. So as we engage the world, which believes that there is many gods, let's make sure we speak the name of Jesus. All of you are on the same page. Amen? Right? It's the first service that doesn't get that. I don't know what their problem is. So today, what we're going to do is we are going to look at the movie Breakthrough. Breakthrough came out earlier this year in 2019. How many, out of curiosity, seen the movie Breakthrough? Okay, a few of you. This movie is based on a true story. Many of our film critics in today's age would label this as a Christian movie, whatever that means, but it's a Christian theme movie. Again, I didn't think I need to say this. Viewer discretion advised. This is one of the, I guess, cleaner movies. I'm not endorsing anything anymore. I'm not going to do that. All right. But what you need to understand is that most people in our world would consider this a quote unquote Christian film. And again, it's based on a real story. And I was hoping more of you saw this movie, so I guess I'm going to spoil it for you, but it's a real story. It's based on this 14-year-old boy and his two friends who walk out onto a frozen lake. They fall through the ice. The two buddies get out. They fight frostbite, but the one kid, he's under the water for, I think, 15, 20 minutes, and God does an incredible miracle. The story is about this mom who has this incredible faith and belief. And she even, one part of the movie I just loved, and I'm trying to apply to my own life, but she kicks everybody out of the hospital room because her son's on this ventilator. And she's literally like, listen, we're only going to speak life. We're not going to speak anything negative, because nurses and doctors were coming in saying it doesn't look good. And she's like, get out. Only life is going to be spoken in this room. And she just had this incredible faith. So incredible, encouraging movie. Matter of fact, I like this movie so much. Again, viewer discretion advised. I just find myself, I'm doing a good job, right, honey? Is that what you told me to say? She's like my checks and balances, my guardrails in life. I took our staff to it because it was so encouraging. And literally, it's a present day miracle as to what happened to this kid. So let me set it up by showing you a couple of clips of what we're going to talk about specifically.
You want to push the phone on? Let's work from back to front.
If you went under the ice back there, you're gone.
The outermost edge dropped off at 25 feet.
So that's the basic premise of the movie. That scene sets up the entire movie if you haven't seen it. And what I want you to point, what I want to point out is the one of the first responders, his name is Tommy Shine, and this is his actual testimony. Up until this point, he would label himself as an atheist who doesn't believe in God. But as you saw there in that scene, he heard a voice that said, go back. Now, watch him work out this in his own mind with his chief in this next scene. Check this out.
Tommy, how you doing?
See you, Mark.
Guys, thank you. Maybe you're still a little shook up about what happened to the boy.
I know what happened.
I believe you.
A few feet over. I think he's like 25 feet deep or more.
Yeah.
To fly the man we did. That fast.
The only one. Best case.
Anything like that ever happened to
him? Yeah.
Well, the way I figure, it's either one or two things. Either I'm nuts.
Or God is talking.
So that kind of sets up what I want to talk about today, right? And again, I don't want to ruin too much of the movie, but he ends up putting his faith in God, right? Because of this experience where not only he was used by God to rescue this boy, but in his words, he believes that God audibly spoke to him. And so the question I want to ask this morning is, how does God speak to you and I today? How does God speak to you and I today? I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is a very familiar text when it comes to this subject. Some of you are very familiar with this passage because two chapters earlier, we used this chapter, chapter 1, for our family dedications where we talk and remind our families when they dedicate their children. We remind them of the story of Hannah who couldn't have children, and she prays to God saying, hey God, if you give me a child, then I'll dedicate him back to you. And we learn in these chapters earlier, before chapter 3, we learn that not only does God bless Hannah with a child, Samuel, but she follows through with her promise, her commitment, and she literally, after Samuel is weaned, takes him to the temple and leaves him there for God to use for his purposes. And so Samuel, at this point in chapter 3, is very young. And he's under the leadership, if you will, of the priest Eli. So check out what happens, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You'll have to look in your copy of scriptures this morning because the scripture won't be on the screen. The Bible says this, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of the God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and laid down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now, let me just interject here real quick before we keep reading. Parents, doesn't this remind you when your kids were small? And they would run into your room and say, hey, I can't sleep. And you would be like, come on, go back to sleep. I wonder if Eli was thinking it's time for you to go back to your mother, right? Look at verse 7. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, a third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, Samuel. Samuel. Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, I just want to point out a few obvious things. First of all, remind yourself, as we just read this passage, that God speaks the name of Samuel to Samuel four times, but the first three times, Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God. And this probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. It wasn't like God was speaking in a different language. It wasn't like God was whispering. It wasn't like God was speaking in some sort of code that had to be cracked. God was plainly articulating the name of Samuel. Samuel heard a voice. He just simply did not recognize it as God's voice. This past week, we spent some time in different airports. We were in Columbus Airport. We were in San Francisco's airport. And as we were waiting, one of the times I went up to the front gate because I needed to try to rearrange some of our seats because we were scattered everywhere. And as I was waiting in line, there was a lady in front of me, and she had one of her headphones in one ear and the other ear was dangling out. She had a small child tugging on her knee, and she was looking backwards over my shoulder at apparently some of her other kids. Needless to say, she was distracted. And it was her turn, and the agent at the gate says, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she didn't respond. "Ma'am, can I help you?" And again, I'm trying to get the window seat, so I'm thinking about cutting in line at this point. I'm not a ma'am, I'm a sir, but maybe she wouldn't notice if she doesn't hear this guy calling out to her. Maybe I could sneak by her, right? But I did the Christian thing, and I said, "Ma'am, the guy's calling you, right? Oh, sorry, right?" And I was thinking, this is a beautiful picture, I think, of what happens here in this passage. Samuel, for whatever reason, didn't recognize the voice of God, but I think it illustrates kind of what happens to you and I. We're so involved in our own world that I feel at times we are truly distracted from hearing the voice of God. And here's what the enemy of God wants to say to us in those moments. He wants us to believe that God simply doesn't speak today. Because if he can get us to believe that God, for whatever reason, isn't speaking to you and I today, then the enemy of God can put a seed of doubt in your mind that perhaps God himself isn't real. But I'm here to tell you that I believe not only does God speak, but he speaks loudly. The question that we're going to evaluate is, how does he speak today? And more importantly, are we listening when he speaks? So I'm going to suggest to you 8 ways that God speaks to you and I today. I'm going to encourage you to take out a piece of paper, a pen and a pencil, and jot these 8 reminders down. Because if you're looking to hear from God, he will speak to you at least one of these 8 ways, if not all 8 ways. Now, before we answer this question, how does God speak to us today? Let me just quickly review how God has spoke in times past. For an example, in the past, God has spoken audibly, right? For instance, in our passage, God audibly spoke to Samuel. It wasn't like God was speaking to his heart. He was speaking out loud. Audibly. Samuel heard it with his ears. Another example would be in the Garden of Eden. God spoke audibly to Adam and Eve. He spoke audibly in times past. Another example of how he spoke in the past was through visions or dreams. Matter of fact, when you look at this passage, the passage I read, it even says specifically in verse 1 that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. And I love the next phrase because it explains to us how God spoke in those days, even though it was rare, and it was through visions. God would often give prophets visions or direct communication or dreams to communicate to the people. So one of the ways that God spoke in the past wasn't just audibly, but through visions or through dreams. Another way that God spoke in the past was, as I mentioned just a minute ago, through prophets. He would use prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they would say, "I have a word from the Lord to give to you." They didn't have access to the word of God like we have today, so they were dependent upon a prophet to share with them the voice of God. of God. Another example in the times past how God spoke was through unusual means. You remember, God spoke through a burning bush to who? Moses, right? That's unusual, but God chose to use that burning bush to communicate to Moses. He also spoke through a donkey. You remember that story? I always tell people, if God can choose to speak through a donkey, he can definitely speak through me, right? But God chose to spoke in one occasion through a donkey. We also know that one time God decided to use his finger and actually write on the wall, a way to communicate. It wasn't a very good communication, if you know that story. It was a communication of death that happened not too long after he wrote that. But my point is this, when you look at Scripture and you look at how God spoke in times past, you can see all kinds of different ways that he spoke. Audibly, visions, dreams, through prophets, through a burning bush. And I don't know about you, but when I look at some of the ways that God spoke in times past, sometimes I become envious. I sometimes think to myself, God, why can't you just speak to me audibly today? Now, I want to just say this, and I want you to hear me clearly. I'm not saying that God can't use any of the ways that he spoke in the past. One thing I've learned about my walk with God is you never limit God, because with God, all things are possible. You believe that, right? I believe that. But what I'm saying to you, and you need to hear this, your pastor, who's been doing this for almost 25 years, not once have I ever heard God speak to me audible. It's not his common practice. Now, I'm not saying you haven't heard from God audibly, but there's a lot of people in our world who are going before God and they're saying, hey, God, if you don't speak to me this way, I'm no longer going to live for you. If you don't give me this sign, I'm no longer going to live for you. And I'm suggesting to you, if you put God in a box that he has to speak to you that particular way, perhaps you're missing the ways that he is communicating to you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for instance, I've had dreams before about God. I've had dreams about even you as a church. But how do I know that's really from God and not just some bad Taco Bell, right? My point is this. There is 8 ways today that God at least will speak to you and I. I'm not saying that he wouldn't speak a 9th way or a 10th way. I'm not saying that he may even speak to you one of the ways that he's done in the past. But I'm saying for sure, here is 8 ways that God is speaking to us. And so just like Samuel needed Eli to come alongside of him and say, hey, Samuel, the next time you hear God's voice, respond this way. In the same way, I want to be used of God to encourage you that perhaps God is speaking to you one of these 8 ways, yet you haven't yet recognized it. So, with that being said, are you ready? One person's ready. Anyone else ready? Because if you say yes, the sermon will go quicker. Number one, how does God speak to us? And this is the most primary way. It's through his word. It's through his word. You don't need to turn there, but at least write down 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. I think that most of us are familiar with this verse. It says, all scripture is inspired, or all scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable, it's useful for teaching and correction, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. And then verse 17 says, so that the servant of God or the man of God can be thoroughly equipped unto every good work or good service, right? And the point is this, is that the book that we hold in the hand, or in our hands, that we call the Word of God, listen, church, this, do you believe this? This is no ordinary book. Amen? The Bible says that all scripture is inspired. All scripture is God-breathed. In other words, the words on these pages came straight from the breath of God. This is the primary way, the main way that God speaks to us. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is alive, that it penetrates our hearts, it penetrates our souls. It's always active. God uses his word to plant seeds into our hard heart that will eventually spring forth fruit. That's why it's alive. It's a powerful book, right? David, the psalmist, he says that the word of God is more valuable than gold. It's sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. The point that I'm trying to make here is that the word of God is the main way that God speaks to us. But you say, Pastor Jeff, listen, I know that. I just need God to speak audibly to me. Okay, if that's you, then I got a suggestion for you. Take your copy of scriptures, open it up, and read it out loud. Because then God will be speaking out loud to you. Listen, I'm saying this in all seriousness. God speaks audibly through his word that penetrates our hearts. So when I say audibly, I mean it comes off the pages of scripture, resonates in our hearts, and this is his primary way that he speaks to us. Now, let's just go down a logical road just for a moment of perhaps why it's not a common practice for God to speak audibly today. For instance, for an example, if we go back in time, there was once a day where there was communication through a telegram. Have any of you received a telegram lately? Like Western Union shows up at your door, like I have a message for you, I need you to. The last time I seen Western Union show up in a telegram was in the movie Back to the Future, right? He showed up and they showed this paper. Like, could you imagine how silly it was? Like, you're a teenager and Western Union tracks you down and gives you a message. Hey, sign here. And you unwrap this thing and it says, hey, your mom wants you to pick up some milk. It was sent 3 weeks ago, but your mom wants you to pick. I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? Why? Because we have other ways to communicate. And so it's evolved. And then there was a time where we actually wrote letters, right? And stuck it in envelopes, licked the envelope, get that nasty taste in your tongue, right? Put the stamp on there, mail it. That's how Carrie and I, long distance, when we dated in college, we would write each other letters. Hey, how are you? And you're like, well, that was 3 days ago. 3 days ago, I was horrible. I'm doing pretty good today, right? But those aren't effective ways to communicate. So how do we communicate today, right? Whether it's email or texting or actually talking to each other on the phone or social media. My point is there's more effective ways to communicate today. And now listen, you would say, well, wait a minute. Isn't audible voice of God a more effective way to communicate? No, track with me now. Listen, think about that. Let's imagine that God still spoke to us audibly on a regular basis. And so person A is right here, is like, hey, God spoke to me last night. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Taco Bell. I know for a fact God audibly spoke to me and he said this. But person B over here is like, well, that's funny because God spoke to me too. And he told me that what you said was something completely different. And so you have all these different people who say that they heard from God and all of their messages are contradictory. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to rely on a system like that? But instead, God's word is written down. So, ready? Truth is not subjective, it's objective. And John tells us in the last book of Revelation, nothing should be added to this book. Nothing should be taken away from this book because everything that we need from God is in this book. Church, listen to me. The primary, most important way that God wants to speak to us is through his word. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, how much time am I spending in this book? If this is the primary way that God wants to communicate with us, how much time am I reading the word of God? I don't mean to embarrass my son, Noah, but he's taking a summer class right now. And I asked him yesterday, I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, I'm going to end up with a B. And his class is almost over. I'm like, man, a B, that's pretty good. He's taking an anatomy class. And I'm like, good job. And I'm like, that just kind of shocks me, though, because he's like, why? Why? I'm like, because your book for the class is still sitting on the dining room table completely wrapped up. I'm like, how in the world did you get a B without ever opening the book? He's like, well, you know, I'm really gifted. I'm smart. And I'm thinking to myself, well, crack the book open and get an A for crying out loud, right? But honestly, And the reason is because most of the stuff's online and the class is online and they go in for once a week for lab. There's a reason why he hasn't cracked the book. But my point of sharing that with you is a lot of us think that somehow we can go through life without ever cracking this book. And a lot of us think, man, God just doesn't speak to me. God must not be real. And my question is a very simple, honest question. Well, when's the last time you read the book? When's the last time you let the breath of God breathe over your life? And you put the words of God deep down in your heart so that he could have an actual, real conversation with you internally. See, the word of God is the key. And I know I'm going to sound really old right now, and I'm sure I'm going to hear this from my wife and my kids on the way home today. But that's why I think there, and I'm not saying you shouldn't or should, okay? So I know I'm old right now, but that's why I purposely don't do my devotions with my phone. Because I find that even though I have a Bible app, I have lots of Bible apps, by the way, but when the scripture verse a day comes up on my phone, it's like not even a second later I get a text. And I'm asking myself, like, this is just my own personal conviction, I'm like, if God's trying to speak to me through his word, yet I'm using my phone, which is a major distraction. It's dinging and binging and ringing. Anything else it does? I'm just not giving God the priority of his voice, allowing it to penetrate my heart. And so my practice is to actually take my Bible away from my phone with a journal. And actually read what God is trying to say to me, uninterrupted, writing down what he's teaching me, because it's how God communicates. Again, I'm going to sound super old, but God's challenged me that my face shouldn't be in the feed of my Facebook more than it is in his book. Now, I'm not on Facebook that much. I don't post hardly anything on Facebook. But you know what I'm drawn to sometimes is the feed on Facebook. And although I'm not on Facebook posting, hey, I went to the grocery store today. Anybody like that? You can tell I have a little problem with Facebook, right? I find myself scrolling through the feed. And then God just convicts me every once in a while, like, hey, why are you feeding so much on Facebook? When the only thing that's truly going to feed you is my book. And so I challenged myself this week. It's saying, okay, how much time am I allowing God to speak? Now, that's the primary way, so I had to spend the most time on that one. You ready? Number two. He also speaks through his son. Write it down, Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2, it says very clearly in that passage, in times past, God chose to spoke through our ancestors, through the prophets. But now, in the last days, God has chosen to speak through his son. Another verse you can write down is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 tells us the Word became flesh. What's incredible about Jesus is not only is the Bible filled with the subject matter, which is all about Jesus, but Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the one who communicates to us as well. Not only do we learn from the Word of God what God has to say, but we also can learn specifically from Jesus. So you say, hey, I don't know if Jesus is speaking to me. Well, here's how Jesus can speak to you. You ready for this? Read the Gospels. There's a purpose why those red letters are red. Read the red letters. That's Jesus speaking to you. God desires to speak through his son, and it's recorded for us in the Gospels. Number three, he also speaks through his spirit, not just through the word, not through just his son, but also through the Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it tells us there in that passage that God lives inside of us. So let me help you remind yourself or maybe teach you for the first time. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this all the time, the moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you actually get two gifts. For some reason, we only talk about one gift. We always say, hey, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll get the gift of eternal life. You'll live forever in heaven. That's true, but that's only half of the truth. The other truth is this. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you. Now listen carefully. Philippians 2:13 says the Holy Spirit of God who indwells you is inside of you and he's constantly at work on you. And it's a real simple formula. The Holy Spirit job is to make you look like Jesus Christ. How does he do that? It's when we read the Word of God. It's real simple. The Spirit of God plus the Word of God equals the Son of God. So when you discipline yourself to listen to God by opening up his Word, you're allowing the Spirit of God to convict you, to teach you, to challenge you, to encourage you, to correct you. You're saying, okay, God, I want you to speak to me. I'm not going to put you in a box and say, you have to speak to me audibly, you know, at 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. No, you're saying, I want you to speak to me, God, so I'm going to open up the page of Scripture. This is how you want to speak to me. And because I'm a follower of Christ, the Spirit of God is inside of me. And the Spirit of God is now going to take the Word of God and help me to become more like the Son of God. That's why when I give a message, or if you sit under a message, you can go home with your family and say, hey, what did you hear God say to you from the message? And although the message is on one subject, there could be several different applications because the Holy Spirit of God is at work. And what your husband or your wife heard might not be what you heard. Although it's the same subject, you're applying it different ways. Why? Because that's how God speaks to us. Now, I do need to caution you because we have a lot of these dear friends in our life, don't we, who come up to you and say, Pastor Jeff. Maybe they don't call you Pastor Jeff. That would be weird. But I have some dear friends that sometimes come to me and say, Pastor Jeff, the Lord has given me a word to share to you. I'm like, well, that's interesting. Because there's only one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus. But sure, go ahead. What has God told you to tell me? Well, he's told me to say this. You know that chorus in that last song? It was just a little too long. The Lord really has told me that you probably shouldn't play it as long. I'm like, that's interesting because the Lord just told me to play it twice as long. What's my point? We can say whatever we want to say that the Spirit of God has told me to tell you something, but at the end of the day, you want to know how you put all that to rest? The Spirit of God, you ready, will never contradict the Word of God. Never. So if someone comes up to you and says, hey, the Spirit of God told me to tell you this, you can test it by saying, okay, is it in the Word of God? All right, great. Then maybe God has told you to tell you that to me. But I can't find anywhere in Scripture where I'm supposed to do the chorus one half a time less. So maybe you had Taco Bell. My point is this. The Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. God's Word is the primary source of communication. And so when we receive the Word of God, this is what's so beautiful about the Spirit of God. It could be days later where the Spirit of God uses that seed to spring forth the truth. Have you ever had that happen? You're reading a devotion. You're reading a verse. Your life group leader encourages you. Your pastor encourages you. You do your own personal devotions. And like 2 days later, it's like the Spirit of God brings that truth to life. That's how God chooses to speak to us. Number 4, He speaks through his people. You said, well, wait a minute, Pastor Jeff. You just said that people coming to us can't say that. No, God chooses to use people to speak his words to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says that when we speak to each other the very words of God. Another verse you can write down is Ephesians 4:15. It says, speak truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I love that verse. It says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but use your words to build each other up, to edify one another. And the fact of the matter is God uses people to communicate his word. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says to the church, hey church, I've given you gifted men for your edification. I've given you pastors and teachers and evangelists to give you encouragement, words, so that you can be thoroughly equipped. That's why sometimes I have a hard time when people will say to me, you show me a book that's better than the Bible, and I'll go ahead and study it. Now, I would agree, there's no book better than the Word of God, right? But wouldn't you agree that God uses his Christian authors to enlighten the Word of God for us? I don't ever want to put a commentary above the Word of God, but I'll tell you right now, I'm thankful for commentaries. I'm thankful for theologians. I'm thankful for authors who can enlighten the Word of God for me, to clarify the Word of God for me. And wouldn't you believe that God will even sometimes, men, ready for this, use your wife to speak to you? Women, God will use your husband sometimes to even speak to you. You got to make sure it's lined up with Scripture, but God will use people to speak to you. You ready for this? Teenager, God will use your parents to be his voice. And all the parents in here said, amen. Parents, God will use your teenagers sometimes to speak the voice of God into a situation. We just need to make sure that when God chooses to use people, that it coincides and is consistent with his word. Number five, God will speak through trials. Now, personally, I don't like this way. I would much rather learn whatever God wants to say to me through his word or through his son or through his spirit or even through people, but often I am learning that God will bring a trial into my life to communicate with me, to teach me. And we learn there in James that God is building my character. He's building perseverance. He sometimes uses difficult, painful things to communicate life lessons. So if you're in a trial right now, God is not trying to pick on you. He's not trying to purposely hurt you for no reason at all. He's trying to build Jesus' character into your life. And sometimes he chooses to do that through our circumstances and through our trials. Number six, he speaks through creation. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. I love this verse. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm on this red-eye flight. We got in yesterday, and I think I was the only one on the flight that wasn't sleeping for whatever reason. I just looked around. I'm like, how in the world is everyone sleeping? I mean, all their mouths are gapped open. They're snoring. I'm like so envious of them. They got these nice little comfortable pillows and little blinders that they have on. I'm like, man, I was like trying to sneak the guys next to me and like just trying to go to sleep, but I just couldn't sleep. And the window was open and it was dark and it came morning and we were hovering over these clouds and we just saw the most beautiful sunrise come up. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a beautiful sunrise on a plane like that, but for me, it was just breathtaking at that moment. It was just incredible to see the sky light up with the different colors, with the yellow and the orange and the pink, and just to see God's glory on display. And you know what I thought when I saw that in that moment? I thought, oh my goodness, this is God declaring his voice through nature. And I kid you not, as I'm enjoying the sunset, the guy next to me finally wakes up and closes the blind. I'm like, what's, dude, God's speaking to me right now. What are you doing? We were in California. We had one day just to kind of chill in between the conference. I was at a conference. We were in a couple sessions every single day. And one day we had just to kind of chill and relax. And when we were there, we went to this this park where there's redwoods, trees. I don't know if you've ever been and saw the ridiculous huge trees, but as we're on this hike looking at these redwood trees, these huge trees, we entered into this thing called the Cathedral Grove. And it said on the sign, "Enter quietly, allow nature to speak to you." Ooh. And I kid you not, everyone on this hike, as soon as they walked past this line, they stopped talking, they stopped fidgeting, and they were quiet. And I was like, kids, we're just going to stay here the rest of the day. And we're going to let nature speak to us. And we go in there, and people are just looking at the trees, and you can hear the wind blowing through the trees, and you can see the birds, and you can hear the birds. And I don't know what people were trying to get out of that message, but here's the message that I heard loud and clear. As I'm looking at these trees, and I'm watching these birds, as I'm listening to nature, it was clearly evident that God is the creator, and his glory was on display. I mean, think about the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. And some of you right now are like, "Oh, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen is my wife." Well, that's because you're in trouble. That's why you're saying that right now. But even if that's your sincere answer, think about it. God created her. And I would suggest to you that the most beautiful thing that your eyes have ever seen is something that was created by God. It's usually a sunrise or a sunset, an ocean, a mountain, the Grand Canyon, something that God himself has created displaying his glory. And God can speak to us through his creation. Number 7, he speaks through prayer. That's why I love this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 3, because Eli teaches Samuel that when God speaks, we need to listen. And he says to Samuel, "Reply this way, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So often in my prayer life, I do all the communication. But what we need to practice is when we pray is in a spirit of prayer, after we give our requests, after we give our praise, in a spirit of prayer, stop talking. Listen, even pray this: "Holy Spirit of God, would you please speak to me in this moment that I'm going to be still and know the Lord." And when I practice this discipline, God usually reveals something to me in the quietness of that moment, either a sin that I need to confess or a direction I need to go. But practice the habit of being quiet in prayer, because when you do that, you'll hear God speak. Again, not audibly, but to your heart, because you planted the word of God in your heart. And the Spirit of God then will communicate that word to you in prayer. And then finally, number 8, and I'm going to ask the team to come up with this, is he speaks through worship. I love Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is a great text. You can look at all those verses, but the verse in particular that I really want to emphasize is verse 16. And it tells us in verse 16, as I struggle to find it here, I'll get there, be patient. It says this, verse 3, verse 16, it says this. It says, "Let the message of Christ," here's the word of Christ. How do we get the word of Christ? "Let it dwell among you richly as you teach and as you admonish one another," here it is, "with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Do you know that God can choose to speak to you through worship? We were in San Francisco as we transferred to Auburn. The conference was in Auburn. Our flights were cheaper to go to San Francisco, which is 2 hours from Auburn. And so we stayed the night in San Francisco. On that Saturday night when we landed, we stayed the night. And so I have to admit to you that this pastor that you're looking at right now skipped church last Sunday. You know, a lot of times people look at pastors and like, I wonder what they do when they miss a couple of weeks on Sunday. Do they go to church? And on this particular Sunday, we just landed, and I'm like, okay, we're not going to find a service. We're not going to go to church. And because I'm a teaching pastor, One of the things that I miss when I miss Sundays is I miss the habit of teaching. And so on this particular Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, you know, we just finished up breakfast and, you know, there was no reason for us to hustle out of there. So we took our time waiting for, you know, the checkout or whatever. And we decided on this particular day, we said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go swimming in the pool. Or we're going to go, you know, work out. And I think my older boys, they went and worked out in the gym. And Sarah, and I think maybe just Sarah that day, she decided she was going to go swimming in the pool. And so I said, well, I'll go with the Sarah, and we'll go swimming. So I have my swimsuit on, and I had a shirt on, just a t-shirt, and I had a hat on. And so I'm going to the swimming pool, and as I'm going into the swimming pool, I hear in this public hotel, this public place, I hear worship music. And it wasn't just worship music that was being played over the speakers. It was evident that there was a live band and there were people singing worship music, praise to God, somewhere in that hotel. And so I let my kids, because the workout place and the pool were all in the same area, so I used my hotel key and let my kids in there and, like, don't drown. And so I'm like, I gotta go find where this worship music's coming from. And so I walk down this hallway and I eventually get to this conference room, and on the door of this conference room, which is shut, it says San Francisco Christ Community Fellowship Church. And my first thought was, my goodness, you guys got to shrink down your name a little bit. Like, just San Francisco Church would be pretty cool. I was like, San Francisco Christ Community Church, we believe in Jesus Church. It was like, I took two doors to read the name. But they're just jamming away in praise and worship. And I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I just open the door and I go into this church. I forgot that I was in a swimsuit. I forgot that I just had this, you know, an old school t-shirt on and, you know, hat. And, you know, as soon as I opened the door, I was greeted by, you know, quote unquote, an usher. And you know how it is at some churches, you have the grumpy old usher that every church has, right? And I thought for sure I was going to be greeted this way. Well, obviously you're looking for the pool, which is down the hallway. And as I opened the door, he says, oh man, I'm so glad you're here. I am so glad that you are here. And he shakes my hand and he starts dragging me up front. I'm like, oh, I'm good to be here too. I just want to hear the music, right? And I'm like, I got a swimsuit on, for crying out loud. He takes me up and he introduces me to the pastor. He's like, is this your first time here? I'm like, yes. I said, I'm a pastor in Columbus, Ohio. He's like, you're a pastor? He's like, I've been praying for someone to come and share a message. That didn't happen. I was just seeing if... But as I met this pastor, he's talking to me. I'm looking, at this point, we're on the side. It would be like on the side of the church. I'm looking and there's probably 100 people in this room. And they're all dressed like me, minus me. And people, person after person, is coming over to me and just, we're glad you are here. What's your name? We're glad you are here. And I was looking pretty hard. I stayed for about 4 songs. I was looking pretty hard. And you know what I found? Not one person was watching worship. They were all participating. Man, they were sincerely, genuinely worshiping God. And I don't know about you, but that's what I needed in that moment, because when I was there on that Sunday, sometimes when I come here, it's like I know I all week I've been praying and studying, and I know I have a responsibility to deliver, but man, in that moment, in that hotel, in my swimsuit, when the body of Christ was sincerely welcoming and worshiping in front of me, my heart was drawn to Christ. God was speaking to me through worship. You know, one of the reasons we gather isn't just to hear from the Word of God. It's to worship God. We're supposed to love Him with all of our heart. And I wonder how well we're communicating to people who might stumble in here. I wonder if they could tell by our spirit of welcoming, from our spirit of sincere worship, that God is real. So I got here yesterday and I call Pastor Bob. Now let me just let you in on a little secret. If you call your worship pastor on a Saturday, they panic a little bit because they've put the whole service together. They put the whole order together. They've practiced on Thursday. They got the lights and the songs on the screen. And so I call Pastor Bob. And mind you, I already talked to him two or three times earlier in the day about my sermon. Everything's set. He's happy. He's like, all right, we're done. Takes Julie out to dinner. And I call apparently when they're out to dinner. And he's like, are you kidding me? Doesn't answer, sends me to voicemail. I left a message. This is your boss, answer. And Bob calls me back graciously and says, hey, Jeff, basically, what do you want? I was like, hey, listen, I know we have an order here of songs. Is there any way we can switch a song? Can we move the first song to the end? Because there's like four people here in the first song. And I didn't say that, but I said, I think that this is a great song that if we worship together, that perhaps God could speak to us. And Bob says, yeah, absolutely. He's a true servant. His team's a true servant. Yeah, not a problem. So he switched everything last night or this morning, and so we could sing this song. And I just want us as a church to worship God. Not so that we can be the church that worships God. No, I want us to be the church that when we worship God, we hear from God. And so this song is a great song for us to actually do that. It actually builds, starts off a little bit slow, but you'll know about halfway through the song, it gives you an opportunity just to really let it go. And so I want to encourage you to worship God in spirit and truth. I want to encourage you to just allow your heart to be open so that God can speak to you. I want you to allow the Spirit of God who is inside of you to direct you, to lead you, to fill you, and show you exactly what it is that you need to do so that you look more like Jesus Christ. Can we do that this morning? And so I'm going to ask you to stand. Father, thank you now for this time that we can reflect through worship. God, I pray as we worship you, that you and your graciousness would humbly speak to us, Father, that you would graciously speak to us, that we would listen, that we would participate through song, and that we would respond. Well, thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's sing together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever sing.